Welcome to this interview. I'm Megan Gibson, your conference co-host. Today, I'm speaking with Dr. Sue Morter. As the author of The Energy Code's 7-Step System to Awaken Your Spirit, Heal Your Body, and Live Your Best Life, Dr. Sue shares profound insights on activating untapped energy within the body for healing and living into our full capacity. She's on a mission to empower individuals to embrace their hidden potential and manifest their true essential selves. Dr. Sue Morter, thank you so much for being with us today.
Oh, what a pleasure. It is always a great joy to dive into these conversations that have such meaning truly about what matters most in life, right?
Absolutely.
So I look forward to seeing where we get to go today.
Yeah. Dr. Sue, can you explain the concept of bioenergetic medicine for those who might be new to the idea?
Sure. So bioenergetics are just the study of the energy that flows through the physical body. We know in quantum science that everything is energy, that everything in our reality is energy just compressed into different forms and different vibrational frequencies and so forth. And this also applies to the human system. We know that our physical bodies are vibrating at a certain radio station, if you will, and our thoughts, our emotions at different radio stations from that even. And so we become this compilation of different vibrations of energy. And we experience those energies all the time when we feel something rush up from our gut or a chill run up our spine or those kinds of things. And so the field of bioenergetics is really studying the biofield, the field of energies that comprise the human system and all of its various subcomponents and how they interrelate to each other. You know, the beauty of it is that we are learning that we can have an impact on the energy flow in our bodies and then the energy flow in our lives as a byproduct of what frequencies we are emanating and radiating and so forth. You know, just a tiny example might be if you've ever walked into the room and you felt a chill come off of someone that's in the room and you're like, ooh, you know, I don't know what's going on over there, but there's some kind of vibe. So that's bioenergetics that we're automatically reading. We're picking up on those senses. Or if we meet someone and we automatically like them and we don't even really know why, we just dig them. And we're picking up on bioenergetics as well. And so everyone's been working with this all their lives. They just maybe didn't have a nice fancy label to put on it, but it is, it's right under our nose and something that can absolutely help our health and our vitality in every level of our lives.
And from the perspective of, you know, talking about anxiety and what we can do to relieve anxiety, why is bioenergetics a really good lens from which to start talking about that?
Well, because everything is energy, if we can learn to work with the energy of our bodies and of our lives, we actually are working at a more foundational level than if we're working at the story level of life. When we start to diagnose something, or we start to ask someone why they are upset or feeling anxious, what are you anxious about, is one of the most stressful questions, actually, that we can ask someone who's feeling that way. Because if they knew on an intellectual level what they were anxious about, they'd be busy doing something about it, right? But it isn't actually a direct cause and effect that is helpful. And so by working with bioenergetics, we learn how to soothe and quell the energies of our system without having to understand why we're upset or to understand how I can get someone to change or my circumstances to alter enough that I can feel more comfortable. We use our mind and our body and our breath in a different way to really soothe and stabilize our system rather than get further out of our bodies and further into our heads, trying to figure out how to control our outer world so that we feel more comfortable. You know, that's a futile approach that humanity is locked into, and it actually breeds more stress and anxiety than anything. So working with bioenergetics allows us to become comfortable almost as if our mind is the last to know why we became comfortable. We're just more comfortable because we're learning how to move the energies into the vibrational frequencies that correlate to comfort and to presence and to love and to well-being, even without having to change our external circumstances to do so.
It's so beautiful when you speak about it like that. And also what I'm thinking about too is that, you know, a lot of the experts that we talk about anxiety is just information, which is really a great context in which to look at it. However, not soothing at all when you're experiencing it. And you mentioned also that like trying to dig into the why or trying to really understand when anxiety, for me at least, and lots of the people that I've talked to, is such a feeling of overwhelm that the questions of why, like you just said, are completely unhelpful. That's like, you know, somebody's, you know, can't catch the breath and you're just like, take a deep breath. Like, well, if I could do that, I would already be doing it. Thank you.
I would if I could. Yes.
Exactly. That's like, yeah, I'm hungry. Well, if I knew I was hungry, I would already be eating.
Yeah.
So, and it's such a great place too, because when we're better resourced, we can also find the curiosity if we want to look at things, right? Like it's not when we're overwhelmed, when we're dysregulated, when we're in a state of disconnection with ourselves is not the time to tap into that curiosity. We don't have the bandwidth for it, do we? All the energy is going toward maintaining, trying not to die, because that's what we feel like. So it's not a laughing matter, but we like to laugh about it. And so one of the things that it's so incredible to me about energy healing and anxiety healing work is the energy that you reclaim back. So how does tapping into your body's energy contribute to the healing process?
Well, you know, when we start to study how bioenergetics work, what the structure and the mechanism of energy flow looks like and what's actually happening, we realize that there's a stream of energy, or maybe people have referenced this as a stream of consciousness that you know, we are. And while that conversation can feel a little esoteric, it's actually quite true that there is a flow of energy that is pouring into this physical system, and it follows a particular path. And that path, actually, I might have an image here. Yeah, I do. An image here that might be helpful to kind of show how this works. The energy pours down in from overhead, pours right down through the center of the body, hits the earth, turns and rises up through the body and shoots out the top and cycles around and around and around. And it's constantly pouring in and it's constantly hitting the earth and it's constantly rising up and it's constantly cycling. So there's always more coming in. There's always more recycling. And when we're allowing this format to do its thing without interrupting it, we are constantly being rejuvenated and replenished. And as a byproduct of that, we heal and we feel revitalized and rejuvenated and renewed if we are in touch with that. And if we're not in touch with that, which most people aren't to a large degree, and they could be in touch with it to a much larger degree than they are, when we become more aware of it, we become appreciative of what's pouring in. We become aware of what's rising up as internal wisdom, gut knowledge, gut information, et cetera, is on the rise. And the combination of those energies allows for a greater sense of belongingness, a greater sense of availability, a feeling that I'm not alone, that I am connected to something greater than just this isolated, separate self that I am currently experiencing myself to be. And so what I'm doing is teaching people in the in-between moments of life, in between big flare-ups of anxiety or big increases in that type of sensation, that people start to develop a way of breathing and a way of being in their bodies when they're falling asleep at night or when they're first waking up in the morning and all throughout the day, for that matter, whenever they can, to start to feel and sense by breathing through this channel, we start to develop an awareness of this energy. And the more we do so, the more we begin to enhance and magnify this rejuvenating, replenishing energy and this internal wisdom. You know, if there's wisdom rising in you, and there is always, but if you're aware of it, you don't spend so much time pontificating or analyzing or worst case scenarioing or weighing out the pros versus the cons, and all that mental activity consumes a lot of energy. And when we are just like, ah, I'm fine. You know, I don't need to be worrying and thinking and over processing things. I know that I'll know when I get there what I'm going to need to know. And so immediately we take our foot off the gas, and now there's a lot of energy left available for healing and for working in creative, progressive ways instead of constantly chewing on what's the cause of this, what's the problem here, how do I get out of this feeling. Those very thought forms consume more energy, which leaves us feeling depleted, which causes more anxiety. So, so one of the things that I'm doing is really kind of showing people that what happens is this energy with most people, this energy comes down, hits the earth, turns and rises up. And because we already have short circuitings in our system from past experiences that didn't go so well, or things that we're afraid of ever having to encounter, we start weaving around our wisdom and our gut knowledge and our connectivity and our relationship with the universe. And that weaving around these areas where we were shut down or ridiculed or left behind or whatever, creates a wobble in the system. And then this biofield, this field of energies, gets distorted. And now this person is standing inside of a distortion, looking out to a world that looks distorted to them. It looks like one that doesn't care, one that proves I'm not okay, one that confirms there's lots to be anxious about. And so it just keeps the cycle going. And so what I'm teaching people to do is to build circuits through these gaps in this communication system so that we can move from this back toward this more perfected state where there is calmness and a sense of well-being. You know, when it comes to anxiety alone, I have to say that it's one of the most misperceived energies on the planet. It's one of the most misperceived experiences that human beings have. Is when we understand that when these different areas of our system start to become stabilized, instead of us wobbling around and diverting around and deflecting around various things, outrunning our fears, when that's no longer happening, we realize that what was trying to happen all along is these aspects of ourselves that we were stepping around were actually just trying to birth. They were trying to get their legs under them. They were trying to engage in and activate or animate or enliven. And in the process of these energy centers that house different aspects of our own consciousness, when they're starting to enliven, they shake, they vibrate. And we've been taught that vibration is an anxious feeling in your stomach that you then either want to figure out so that you can control it or get away from. And neither is the answer. The answer is to actually move into the very thing that's shaking, where we've been trained as a knee-jerk reaction to get away from it. But because we get away from it, it never gets the magnification of our mind placed upon it. And so it never gets to actually open. You know, I use this analogy, and maybe we've spoken about this before. I'm recalling some conversations that we've had in the past. And you know, when a baby chick is getting ready to hatch, the egg vibrates, and then it vibrates even bigger, and then a little beak pecks through the shell, and it's birthing itself into a new reality. And the same is happening with us. We're trying to birth ourselves into new realities all the time. But if no one has taught us that that's what's going on, when we get these signs of birthing, we think they're warning signs of danger. And so we evacuate, you know, we move away from it instead of leaning into it. And so consequently, we get stuck right there on replay of this shaking reality that we call anxiousness. So we then write a story about it and get caught up in it. And then we start looking for what's causing my anxiety. And we spend all of our energy on a wild goose chase, basically, trying to find the cause of some problem when actually it wasn't a problem in the first place, which is why perhaps we never find the cause of the problem. What if it's not a problem? What if you're looking for the wrong thing? And so I started working with my patients and clients, and then inside the coursework that I'm teaching, working with students and inside of our workshops and seminars that we teach of how to, you know, how to turn that, how to look at it differently. And people started just popping open in ways that they were feeling empowered by the, in the very same moments that they were haunted before, they're realizing to reframe it, to understand it as something totally different. So rather than understanding why I'm anxious, it's more effective to understand that maybe it's not anxious at all. Maybe you're just spinning your wheels and freaking out over something that isn't really, doesn't really warrant your full attention in that way. And that if you could steer that into something more potent and more effective, you know, would you be interested, you know, and the hands go up and they're absolutely interested. And so that's where we're working with people is to, you know, just realize that somewhere back in your history, you were stumbling upon this moment where this solar plexus, this area right where the ribs splay apart, right in that, where if I punched you, it would knock the wind out of you, is an area where of personal power. It's an area of self-esteem. That's where that is housed in our physical body, just like our loving selves are housed right here in the heart center, and our voice and manifesting capacity in the world is housed more in the throat area and so forth. Our personal power is sort of housed right where we're talking about, where if, you know, where we would get the wind knocked out of us, just below the diaphragm. And so we start working with this area and things begin to unfold and change for people in such a beautiful way. And they realize that it's actually their personal identity or their personal power that was being stirred early on in their lives. Like by age three, it's time for that to start birthing, start hatching. And we start, you know, coming, butting up against our parents in this way. You know, we start wanting to individuate. And right then, you know, we get in trouble, we get blasted, we get disciplined, whatever. And we start shutting down this area of personal, of true personal identity. And so it never gets to birth the way that it's intended to. It never gets to be fed energetically the way that it's designed to. And so consequently, we grow up inside of that reality and inside of that pattern of function of energy flow. And a byproduct of that is we become anxious adults because that energy it's our power and it's being pent up. It's being held and encapsulated instead of being free to run through the whole body. And so a byproduct of that is it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger because it's trying to hatch. And we try to get smarter and smarter and smarter to outrun it or to control it. And we're approaching the whole thing in a backwards way that just will never have a solution energetically in this way. So
it's so interesting because as I'm hearing you talk, you know, you're talking about the solar plexus and the gut instinct and things like that. And none of the opportunities for growth that I or anyone I know has experienced has been without discomfort. And I think that's kind of what you're speaking to, right? And it's that also one of the byproducts of anxiety and before you start doing the healing work is that you can't tell the difference between your intuition and your anxiety because you think they sound the same and you can't decide when they're completely different, right. But you don't know because you're just operating from this like high buzz of avoidance of discomfort when there's so much discomfort in energy and growth. And, you know, it's not all butterflies and rainbows when we're stepping into our power and when we're you know, trying to be what we're meant to be in the world. And so doing this work and healing unleashes kind of the reconnection to that intuition, if I'm hearing you right. And so I know that you have practices and techniques that individuals can use to kind of activate that and get more in touch with that. So I'd love it if you could say a little bit about that too.
Well, sure. You know, you're absolutely right that these new energies are unfamiliar. And if we've based our reality on the need to be safe, we misconstrue what new means. We automatically assume that new and unfamiliar equates to potential danger. And so, you know, we're just avoiding things all the time. And in that, if discomfort could just become unfamiliar, if we could allow unfamiliar to just be unfamiliar instead of equating unfamiliar with bad, you know, instead of deciding that's something to be protecting ourselves from, And so one of the things that I do with people is to get them even lower in their body than the solar plexus, which when I say lower in the body, what I mean is grounding yourself and feeling solid on this earth and in this life and on the planet, and feeling like there's something that is unwavering about you and that there is stability in your life. And so that's all kind of equated with this word grounded. And so getting the lower the vibration, the lower in our bodies we can direct our attention, the slower the vibrational waveform is, the slower the vibrational frequency. And so if we're in our solar plexus area and we're freaking out and we're fluttering and you know, being in the quaking of life, if we can get lower than that, there is something more stable. And so below the navel, breathing in the belly is a great way to automatically begin to still the mind and open, stretch open and create more spaciousness between our thoughts. When there's more spaciousness between our thoughts, wisdom can rise. Instead of us filling in the blanks and freaking out and spinning the wheels, when there's more spaciousness, then that rising energy that after it hits the earth and turns and wants to rise, it can rise, and it rises as wisdom. And wisdom is more stable than thoughts. Wisdom is like, you know, don't mess with me. No matter what you're telling me, I can feel, you know, that this is what's true. It's sort of like this grandmother energy who's like, you know, look, don't try to pull that over on me, Missy. I've seen it all. You know, there, it's sort of this wisdom of life that's is tried and true, and you just can't mess with it. And so we all possess that. We have that vibration too. And anyone who's experiencing anxiety is going to do well by dropping more deeply into these deeper frequencies. So belly breathing is always a real go-to in an instant. When we feel anxiousness coming on and we feel the spinning start to happen or the energy starting to raise and we start to feel our blood pressure or our heart beating or those kinds of adrenaline happening in the body, start belly breathing instantly for sure, because it starts to draw the energies back down into the belly area. And that pulls us into lower, slower vibrational frequencies, which allows more wisdom to rise in between our thoughts and allows us to actually land and to be here and to think rationally instead of thinking emotionally, and getting up into just filling in the blanks and story writing and worst case scenarioing like we do. In addition to that, when we lower the breath in the body and slow it down, so breathe lower and slower, lower in the body and slower as a rhythm, it will automatically create that spaciousness that we need in order to quell what's starting to take place in generating emergency situations for ourselves that are absolutely crafted and created in our own misguided creative energies. We're creating struggles and strains and issues in our lives all the time. And then we're trying to overcome those. And then we feel victorious when we do. And so it's sort of like, what would you be doing if you weren't creating problems to solve and then solving them? If you could just be present, you would be able to walk straight through some of those, many of the situations that we end up being reactive to and really worrying ourselves right into a box or a smaller world than we belong in. And there is also a central channel breath that I teach people that is allowing for this wobbling, disoriented scenario to become more pristine and more clarified and more grounded and more harmonized. And so breathing up and down this channel is very, very effective. So to do so, someone would, just with their concentration or their imagination, just imagine that they're breathing in from overhead right into the center of the brain, all the way down to the belly, and then exhaling from the belly all the way to the earth. And then inhaling up from the belly, up from the earth rather, into the belly, and then exhaling up through the body and out the top of the head. There are actually stabilizing energy centers even outside the physical body that we can learn to work with. That's what I teach people to do all the time. And by inhaling to the belly and exhaling to the earth, and then inhaling from the earth to the belly, and then exhaling out the top of the head, what happens is we begin to stabilize and integrate. And when we are doing that, we're opening the system to rejuvenation and new energies and ridding ourselves of energies that we don't need to be holding on to anymore, et cetera. So everyone, like, we can just do this together for a second. It just takes a second to get started with it. And it's always helpful to do. So what I would do, if you are anxious, the ideal thing would be to go to the earth with your awareness and breathe from the earth up into your belly. Big belly breath, not breathing with the upper lobes of your lungs, but just low in the belly. And then exhale up through your heart, through your throat, through the center of the brain, and just kind of shoot it out the top of the head. And then we're going to take an inhale from overhead right into the center of the brain, into the throat, into the chest, all the way to the belly. A belly breath again. And then exhale from the belly down through the tip of the spine and all the way into the earth. And then you would just repeat. You would breathe up from the earth into the belly. And then exhale from the belly up through the heart, through the throat, through the center of the brain, and out the top of the head. And then you would inhale from overhead to the center of the brain, to the throat, to the heart, all the way down into through the solar plexus to even below the navel. Just focus on it there. Just allow the energy to just fall down through the body, to just like a waterfall or standing under the shower. Just let that energy just fall down through the body, and then exhale into the earth. So, you know, we can just open our eyes and come back into the conversation. What's happening is we're starting to organize a flow. It will always change your state if you will breathe in this way, but it isn't just a quick fix. It's actually starting to harmonize and correct for these wobblings that are causing you to move around or to divert or deflect around your personal power or your willingness to be in open, vulnerable relationship or to take a stand for yourself or all these bad habits that we've created in the course of our lives. It begins to carve right through those avoidance behaviors and to stabilize something on a much more profound and consistent basis. Very helpful. Now, I said, if someone's anxious, the ideal thing to do would be to start with the earth and breathe up into the body in this way. However, if someone is experiencing anxiety, here's what's going on with them. They are living more in their upper body than they are in their grounded lower body centers. So going to the earth and breathing up from the earth might not seem plausible. They might not even be able to access these earthly grounded energies. Like, I'm freaking out. You want me to relate to Mother Nature? Forget about it. You know, I feel like I'm gonna, you know, my life is at stake here. So if they can't relate to those grounded energies of nature in a moment like that, then just go with what is. And because one is already living up here in these higher analytical energy centers, and not able to relate to the grounded versions of themselves, then just come up here and breathe in from overhead, just as if you're, you know, calling for help from the high heavens, right? Just pull the energy down into your body, down through the center of your brain, through the throat, to the heart, all the way past the diaphragm. If we can get past the diaphragm, we're literally coming into a new realm. We're literally opening the doorway into a new version of ourselves, one that is wise and empowered and grounded and eternal and has been here forever. And it's sort of that, you don't need to mess with me energy. This is just another trend. This is just another, you know, thing that's going on in society. It's going to come, it's going to go, but I'm still going to be here. That kind of stability is what we have to develop. So if we have to reach up, you know, for that assistance, because we're already living in our heads, so be it. So you do so. But when you breathe into the belly, make sure you're bringing those energies all the way down to below the diaphragm to such an extent that you can feel warmth in your belly, warmth below the navel, a fullness in the pelvic bowl and in the low lumbar spine as well. Because when we're starting to work with those lower aspects of the physical body, the nervous system is going to program some new ideas in association with this state of anxiousness that we're in. And it will actually allow anxiety to become exhilaration. It will allow anxiety to become passion that is fueling your evolution, fueling your groundedness, fueling your capacity to say, I'm not moving. You know, I've made a decision. I'm not at the effect of the outer world. I'm making a choice and I'm in charge of that choice. And when we move into that reality, our physiology changes, our chemistry changes, the object of the game changes, and every cell in your body will participate in playing that new game. This is something that people haven't been taught, that our bodies are responding to what our minds are doing. And so we have to train our minds not to just get over it, not to just be okay, but to work with what is, but to work with what's going on with you. Instead of trying to shove it in a box and shove it under the stairway, you know, down there, it's the opposite needs to happen. We need to open the box and pull out what's in there and allow it to be the good guy, not the bad guy. Allow it to be what's serving our awakening rather than impeding it. And so by doing so, we start to get the sensation of, oh, I can do this. I can handle this. This is working. You know, I can still breathe. I'm still here. It's okay. And then we become interested in, I wonder what else I could handle. I wonder what else I could do this with. And when someone begins to operate this way, whenever they're feeling anxious, they also begin to automatically know there's something really empowering in this for me if I will take it on in this way. Just working with the energy, working with the breath, working with the body. So those are a couple of things that people can do to start with. There are some others. If we have time, you tell me what kind of time we have or what
Absolutely.
We need to
we
do.
We still have time, but I have a question, a follow-up question.
Yeah.
So this, and I ask all these things because I have such visceral memory of what it felt like when I first started working on anxiety, right? And I'm like, I'm asking the questions I would have asked then as a skeptic. And it's like, this is all well and good. Like we're here in this, you're, I assume, alone in the room you're in. I'm alone in the room I'm in. I'm focused. I'm, you know, protected. This all feels really good. And then I always call it like the Kool-Aid effect, Kool-Aid man effect. If you're an American, you probably know what that is. But like, you know, somebody bursts in the door later, or I go and I interact with an angry neighbor or something, right? Like we have all of these demands on our lives, right? And so we're practicing this as individuals. We can't control other people, but how, mm-hmm. what are the stages of kind of like development and practice of like, okay, I'm able to tap into this myself and for myself. And now I can also shield myself against others or use whatever energy they're giving me, right? Like how do we do this for ourselves and then actually in relationship with the world and the people in it that we can't control?
Beautiful. Okay. So here's another exercise we can couple up with this that is so helpful when other people are involved. And it's called subject, object, subject. And it means I'm either going to disperse my energy and give it away to the outer world and give all my power away, my little packets of empowerment. I'm going to just divvy them out, or I'm going to gather them back into this whole system that I'm designed to be. And just to give everyone a little bit of an image, I oftentimes use this analogy that when we land here, we sort of splat. It's kind of a rough landing. We kind of come in and splat, and our mind and our body and our breath just go in different directions. And so we then are out there on the periphery of that splat trying to make life work. And we're trying to figure out, you know, did anybody see me splat? Did I splat? Did you splat too? Or was it just me? How do I measure up in Splatville? You know, what's going on here? And we never really direct our attention back inward. We are looking out to see, you know, did you make me splat? What happened in the splat? Who's responsible for this? Or how do I feel safe out here in this dispersed manner? We start looking to the big people in our lives to feed us and to clothe us and to let us know we're okay. And so we externalize our power. We build circuitry for observing the outer world and fitting into it and playing by the rules of it, instead of ever feeling empowered to create our own rules or to create our own universe and invite other people in. And so this is a kind of a remedy for that. And it's gathering yourself back from the splat. So when your angry neighbor is being angry, we don't want his anger to become your reality. It's his reality. It's not your reality. Now, it's not about guarding yourself from this neighbor and his anger or her anger. It's about opening and recognizing, wow, they got a lot going on over there. And I'm here. Now, if I've in my in-between moments of life been building my own constitution properly, I'm stable, I'm clear, they're doing what they're doing, I have compassion. If I haven't been doing that kind of work in here and they do what they do, they suck me right into it because I've externalized my power and I've built all kinds of circuits to being at the effect of what's going on over there. And I need to release that attachment to pleasing or to being enmeshed in my surroundings and to gather my energy back onto self instead of dispersing it onto other all the time. The majority of anxious people that I've worked with, and I was terrified as a kid, by the way. I'm not talking about this theoretically. This has been my life that I have transformed. I slept on the floor of my closet as a kid. I was so afraid of life. If anybody spoke to me as a child, I was the kid that ran out of the room crying because I didn't even want that kind of attention, and because it terrified me. And so we have to gather it back. So here's just a little exercise that you can do. Just pretend that you're sitting in a room right now, and that you're, let's assume that everybody's kind of in a, space that's comfortable enough to be watching and participating in this. And just imagine that someone that pushes your buttons comes to the doorway of the room that you're in. It's standing right there in the doorway. There they are. And your energy rushes over to them. And your energy is going on to object. It's going on to other in that moment. And so notice how you feel. Your heart might be pounding. You might feel empty and anxious and nervous. And there they are. And especially if you start thinking about all the stuff that they've done in your past and how it's affected you historically and everything that goes with that, there it goes. And now we're off to the races. And so I'm just going to invite you to do something. Just while they're still standing in the doorway and you're still looking at them, you're still having the conversation with them. That is whatever, the appropriate thing to do would be, just secretly, stealthily pull your energy back onto you. Just gather it onto you. Something that people don't even realize they could be doing. You just gather it back. You just call it back onto you. Bring all of your attention back on to your own body, onto your own body, into your own body, and breathe, breathe in the belly. Now, you might not have the wherewithal to do a central channel breath like we were just describing in that moment when you first start doing this, but you can call your energy back onto you the moment that you feel a lump in your throat or you feel your blood pressure going up or your anxiousness or you feel like you've just ghosted yourself. You just abandoned yourself. You left the building. You left the body, guaranteed. So call it back, call it back, claim it back onto you, onto your own body. And it's called going from object onto subject, self. And notice how it feels when you just claim it back. You feel warm, you feel relaxed, you feel present, you feel alive, you feel human, you feel valid, you feel worthy. All sorts of things happen as a byproduct of that. Working with the energy physically, with your physical body. Now, throw your energy back onto the person in the doorway. Just give it back to them. I worry about what you think. I worry about what you think of me. I worry about what you're going to say next. I worry about my comfort level and my safety level and on and on and on and on and on. And boom, you empty out. When you empty out, it feels a certain way in here. It's not a good feeling. And you'll be able to teach yourself the distinction between that feeling and when you call it back onto you again. Bring it back onto subject. Bring it back onto subject. Bring it back onto self right now and notice how it feels. So when we start to realize, power is about energy, the allocation of energy. Whoever has the allocation of my energy has my power. So if I give it to you, then you have my power. Now I'm anxious. Now I'm afraid about what you're going to do, what you're going to say, how things are going to go. I'm freaking out. So this has been the number one most helpful thing that people have that people in my coursework have come back and said it was a game changer day one, and can't believe how much I've learned since then. But just realizing that I could shift the location of my little photons based upon what I'm intending for them, my little packets of energy, packets of power, packets of empowerment is what they are. If I gather them back onto me, everything changes. Now it kind of doesn't matter what my neighbor's doing. I kind of feel sorry for the guy or the woman or whatever. And when I am not pitying them, when I'm actually gathered here, I'm compassionate. And I might be able to actually lend a hand or say something productive to help them calm down. And I'm okay if I don't. But the point is this, I have enough of a sense of strength and continuity that come what may, it's sort of like come what may. I'm good. I'm here. I'm clear. I'm grounded. I'm integrated. So there are many life scenarios that start to drain us and disperse us and pull us back onto object, onto other, without us even knowing it, because we've lived our lives doing that. And so it's insidious. It kind of sneaks up and starts pulling you. And all of a sudden you realize, my God, I don't even know when this happened, but for the last 3 days, I must have been on object because I feel terrible and I'm anxious again. So pull your energy back onto subject and start breathing in your belly. And you can do that under any circumstance, right in the middle of the line of fire, right when you are in the agitation, in the argument, in the confusion, in the whatever, you can breathe in your belly. You can do that. You can pull your energy back onto you. It's like, even if you begin working with this in a means of self-preservation, I mean, that's not the ideal disposition, but if that's where you are, that's where you are. So do it as a means of self-preservation, and then do it in the in-between moments of your life so that you become so familiar with what it feels like to be gathered back together again that you notice sooner that it's starting to leak, that it's starting to disperse, that it's starting to undo the you that you're meant to be. And when you first start noticing it, if you come back onto subject and do this central channel breathing, it becomes easy for you to return to that state, even when the stakes are high, even when you're at work and the boss is looking at you, or you're at work and your employees are like angry about something or scared about something themselves. You'll have the wherewithal to be in charge of your life experience, which is actually what we come here to master. We come here for this. So don't dupe yourself and judge yourself for feeling like you're out of control. The whole purpose of your life is to learn how to master that state right there. So if you're not in charge of it just yet, that's okay. That's why you're here. That's what we're doing here. And so if we can keep the story at bay and just keep our attention on working with the energy, we have less of a tendency to judge ourselves for feeling so anxious and instead do something more effective with our minds than self-judgment and use the mind to help magnify the energies that you're gathering at the core of your being, because that's the truth of you. That's how you're supposed to be living. Then anybody can come to your doorway and it's like, oh, I hope you know what you're walking into, because this is a no stress zone where I live and you're about to step into that. So, you have to enter with the precaution that peace happens in my vicinity, healing happens in my vicinity. So if you're not interested in peace or healing, then, chances are you'd be better served to go somewhere else and tell somebody else how to be or, whatever. So it's quite an amazing way to put it to practice, to where the rubber meets the road, to just remember some basic things that can allow us to move from survivorship and protective or competing or comparing into celebrating our personal power and truly celebrating our ability to heal the misperception that anxiety is what we thought it was, when actually it might be my personal power just trying to hatch itself right here in front of me.
It's so beautiful. And I so deeply wish that I had found your work at the beginning of my journey, because, back then, and I don't know if you can relate to this, it's, I just want to stop feeling how I feel, right?
Yeah.
You're just trying to get help from whoever you can to stop feeling the way you feel. You don't even really know how you feel. You just know you hate it. Right.
I don't have a name for it. Right. I don't know where it came from.
It could be overwhelm. It could be resentment. It could be anything. Right. You're just like, but all I know is that. And then you work through a little bit of that. You untangle that. Like I always think about like necklaces. Like if you throw a bunch of necklaces into a bag or a pocket or something and you bring them out and you're like, you work through that knot. Right.
Yeah.
It takes a little time and patience. And then you start to build your stories. Now that I'm out of that feeling, now I'm looking at the stories or I'm wondering and thinking, right? But if you have that energetic component, this like reclaiming my energy, reclaiming my power, being able to withstand discomfort, all of those things alongside that journey, then nothing gets too much stake there, that nothing has too much importance, because you know that you're reclaiming your energy and your power and what you want to do with it in your life. And I just wish, I'm like, I wish I had a time machine so that it could have been in conjunction,
and you know, even a success in one moment along these lines, it pokes a hole in the dam. And the next thing you know, your system is actually leaning into with curiosity what this anxious moment is about, instead of it being so all consuming and just being on you. It's like you get it off of you enough to be able to look at it, enough to tame it into something else. It only takes one or two shots at it, because somebody might be listening and say, you know, you don't understand the level of anxiety in my life. You know, it's like, I can't, I'd be subject, object, subjecting all the time, you know, and I say, yay, go for it. Do that. Don't worry about it, because you only need one success for your subconscious to then recognize, oh, we've been here before. We know what to do. We know what to do. Like, I might've forgotten for a day or two, but on day three, man, I remember and I can do this. And so this is what people are reporting back until they're actually able to do it in real time while something's happening, that they feel the lump in their throat happen. They know that means I'm supposed to start breathing in my belly and I'm supposed to start doing this central channel breathing. And if they've been practicing in the in-between moments of their lives, it's not so hard to do in those real-time moments when the heat is on. And I just really want to emphasize that anchoring yourself in the body is also very, very helpful. And there are some muscle contractions that you can do in an instant like that just pull you right back into your center and onto subject. You can do something as simple as, you know, the belly breathing, but you can also pull your shoulder blades together and drop them down your back. Just roll them together and drop them down. And by doing that and belly breathing together, it's like, whoo, it really stabilizes your energy flow. There is another one called Mula Bandha. It's like a Kegel exercise. And it's like contracting the muscles in the base of the pelvic floor, the perineal muscles. Like if you were going to the bathroom and you had to stop the stream instantly, you'd squeeze certain muscles to do that. You squeeze those muscles in an instant and take a belly breath at the same time. And I have to tell you, like, the world changes. If you can be driving down the road, all caught up in some scenario and thinking about, oh, I should have said this. Oh, I'm going to get this. And, you know, you've got the whole thing unfolding in your mind. And all of a sudden you realize, oh my God, I am so stressed out. If you contract those muscles in the pelvic floor and that I was saying, like a Kegel exercise, like contracting the muscles that if you were going to the bathroom and you had to stop the stream, you just contract them. And then pull your blades together and drop them down and then take a belly breath right in between those two points. It's like you can't even get a good upset going. You can't get as anxious as you were just a second ago. And it's like the mind freaks out. It's like, how could that change my mental and emotional status? And it does, because everything is energy and we're changing how the energy is flowing. And by contracting those muscles low in your body, it forces the energy of the attention to move down into those lower areas of your body. And excuse me, I've been talking a lot lately. And when we pull that energy down, we ground and we remember. It's like, oh God, I was so caught up in that situation. I totally thought that was real. I thought that was the only way I could feel today. And actually, somebody ripped the Band-Aid off or somebody turned on the lights and all of a sudden I realized I have choice. I could feel that way or I could feel this other way. And the moment that happens, the subconscious is like, oh, free will is in the picture. Don't forget free will is an active ingredient in this recipe. I could choose to feel that way or this way. Because when we are caught up in it, we don't think we have a choice. We think this is it. I feel this way because you did that. Or I feel this way. I don't even know why I feel this way. I woke up feeling this way. I've been feeling this way for 2 weeks now, you know, and we think that's it. And it's not the only game in town. It's just the one you're playing. It's the one you're in. You're immersed in it. And so by using these various little anchor points, and there are several others in the body that someone can learn how to utilize. I wrote about them in my book, The Energy Codes, and I teach about it in all my coursework. And when we start to learn how to anchor ourselves, the energy just starts moving differently. And when the energy is moving differently, that's where emotions come from. Emotions are energy and thoughts are energy. And so if we can reroute how the energy moves through our system, we change the emotions in our system. We change the thoughts that occur to us by changing how the energy is moving. So when we're breathing in the belly, or we're breathing in this central channel, or when we're squeezing the blades together, or squeezing this pelvic floor muscles, this thing called Mula Bandha, when we're doing those things, we're changing how the energy, the bioenergetics, are routing through our system. And when they change, our emotions change, and our thoughts change, and the possibilities that occur to us change. First, we are energy, and then we are story. First, we are energy, and then we are story. We are not our history only. We are the energy that got formulated into certain patterns because of our historical circumstances. But we can change those patterns of energy flow, and it is as if it changes our history. I mean, people tell me all the time, you know, I'm still the same person that was physically abused, or sexually abused, or emotionally abused, or abandoned, or what have you. I'm still that person, but it is almost as if it never happened. The way I feel about it when I think about it. When I think about it, it doesn't have a charge anymore. When I think about it, I can think logically about it now, whereas before it was an emotionally based thing that I was spending so much energy suppressing it because it was just too much to deal with. But through these practices, one by one, they've unpacked and they've gotten back into the flow of that whole toric field system like a giant washing machine, and they just don't have the same effect on me. And I'm more available to help others through the same situations. I'm more available to not need things to be dramatic in order for me to feel alive. I'm more available to route those energies forward in a way that allows me to be a creator in my life instead of a survivor. So lots of really cool things that we can do regarding bioenergetics and how it relates to anxiety. Anxiety is passion that doesn't have a clear through path. As soon as we carve a path for that energy to flow, it becomes the passion of manifesting and creativity and abundance and flourishing. It's the exact same energy. It's just not moving. It's stuck. And because it's stuck, we're stuck, or we feel stuck. And it's just a matter of work with the energy. Don't try to figure out the how or the why or the who or the when. Just ask, you know, where in my body could I start moving energy more freely that feels blocked? And your mind will go right there, right to the place and answer the question for you. If you ask, where in my body could I help move this energy so that I don't feel so darn anxious all the time? Your mind's going to go here. It's going to go here. It's going to go here. It's going to go somewhere in your body. So you just pay special attention there and start breathing through that central channel. And the next thing you know, these things hook up. And the energy isn't blocked anymore. It's like you're poking a hole in the dam of the river, and all of a sudden you're back in flow instead of being trapped inside of a little cesspool that got started. Yeah.
So everybody's going to want to know more about you and your book. So tell us how we can do that after this talk.
Okay. So I'm easy to find. I'm like out there a lot and, you know, speaking in lots of places and lots of coursework and online programming myself that I host all the time. I'm always teaching something. I love it. It has changed my life and set me free. And that's all I want to do is let humanity know that what they think is the problem is actually the solution. It's just not routed and organized in a flowing, harmonic way. So drsuemorter.com is my website. It's drsuemorter.com. Lots of free content out there on YouTube and so forth. We have Facebook groups and all of that. Lots of ways for people to engage. I have monthly healing transmissions that I'm working with, quelling people inside of these anxious states and teaching them how to drop in to a deeper, better world within themselves that they've just been, you know, it's just been elusive. So yeah, pretty easy to find. And the book is called The Energy Codes, and it teaches you how to, you know, awaken the spirit and heal the body and truly allow those two to become one presence in your life and use energy to your advantage. Right. So it's always there.
Fantastic. Yeah. Thank you, Dr. Sue, so much.
My pleasure. Always. Always great to connect with you.